Well, July marked the conclusion of the project ReLive, rebuilding and securing livelihoods in Greater Rupkona, implemented by WHH South Sudan and funded by the German Federal Ministry for Economic Cooperation and Development. Well, over the last 5 years, it's contributed to improving food security and stabilizing the livelihoods of 36,000 people in Greater Rupkona, Unity State. And to learn more about the impact of this project on the communities of Greater Rupkona and the possibilities to implement similar projects in other areas, we're now joined in the studio with our guest, Mackenzie Mosocha, Agriculture and Rural Development Expert at World Hunger Organization South Sudan. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Irene. How are you?
I'm very fine, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, just briefly explain the goal and scope of this project and how it's aimed to support the communities in Greater Rupkona.
Yes, I'm so excited to be here talking to you about this project, which we implemented in Greater Rupkona under Unity State, with the overall goal being to improve food security and also stabilizing the livelihoods of conflict and also displaced populations.
Right.
Yes. So this is a project that has been running from 2019. Initially, it was a two-year project, but then, as you may recall, we also had some flooding in 2021. So we had to request for an extension from the donor, which is German government, under the German Federal Ministry of Economic Cooperation and Development, BMZ, to extend this project for a further 2 years so that we can also respond to the needs of the conflict, also the flood affected populations. Yes. So,
now, yeah, looking at that challenge, particularly the floods in Rupkona, we know about how Rupkona was affected and how they were devastated. So how did your organization respond to these challenges?
I would say this is one of our unique project, because it actually turned a disaster into an opportunity, where the flooding, you know, when the flood came, there was construction of dikes around the county, and people moved from lowlands to the highland, running away from the flooding. So after the dikes were constructed, there was accumulation of water close to Bench Town and also across Rupkona. Then as WHH, we identify that this water can be put to maximum use. That's when we established farming gardens around the community. We also consulted the community leadership to identify land, suitable land, where we could establish these community gardens. Where we're working with mostly women to do various vegetable production and also training them on improved agriculture practices to enhance their food security. Yes.
So was that land identified?
Yes, we identified some pieces of lands where we established these gardens, and we even introduced some of the new crops to the communities, like sukuma wiki. You know, people could not understand how it's grown or even how it's prepared. So these were some of the impact of the project, where we're teaching or training the communities on the planting, the management of crop, the harvesting, the preparation, even doing the cooking demonstrations, because this project was also responding to the nutrition needs of children.
Right.
Yes.
And according to your report, 450 farmers participated in creating these model gardens. So what role did the community members play in the success of these gardens, and what training did they receive?
Yes. The communities, actually, the most important role is to accept the project. That is one thing that we also want to appreciate and acknowledge from the communities. Being part of the project was really amazing to us. And also even the construction of the garden themselves, the communities did that on their own. The land preparation, they were doing it on their own, of course, with the trainings from WHH. So in terms of the training package, we're looking at right from land sighting, land preparation, planting, weeding, and crop management, harvesting, and we also introduced a component called seed saving, because we know seeds, vegetable seeds, may not be readily available in the local markets. So we're saying, instead of waiting for farmers to get seeds from afar, let's identify some of the seeds which we can collect, dry, and keep for the following farming season.
Right. And so, what about the village saving and loan associations? Just bring us a speed.
Yes. So this project was not only looking at food security, it was also looking at income generation. And we call it inclusive business or entrepreneurship development.
Right.
And this was actually brought about through the village savings and lending associations, where would mobilize the same farmers to form groups, sort of homogeneous groups, because in a savings group, people should be of the same thinking and planning.
Right.
So they would come together. They do their savings, but not only savings, but saving for enterprising, where they would go back to the savings, they borrow money, you invest it in your small business. And remember, these people were displaced, had already some of their businesses somewhere. So we're now trying to restart or to reinitiate the businesses and also stabilize.
Right.
But the only way we could do that was also to bring in the financial inclusion through the village savings and lending associations. So people would save, and they would lend at an agreed interest rate to invest in their businesses. Then after investing, you would pay back to the group.
Right. So how has this changed the economic landscape for the participants, especially for the women?
It has changed greatly. I can share with you that we have seen a growth in terms of a number of businesses being established. People are now going to the market to buy and sell. This has also even supported other enterprises like beekeeping, where farmers are now even taking money from the savings groups to do to support their beekeeping activities. That's another component that I would also want to just to share with you, where we also initiated or supported the communities with beekeeping, where they would harvest honey, process it, then market it in the local market.
Right.
So if you go to bench right now, you see the honey produced by the group.
Looking forward to that. It's reported that women's involvement in the community projects increased significantly after this. Tell us more.
Yes. One of the key aspects that we also included, especially on the extension, was to bring in the element of gender-based gender equality, where we were saying as people are displaced, they lose their livelihoods, they lose their sources of living. So let's acknowledge the role played by women. And now they are into farming, they are now into savings. So we're also trying to bring women and men together to say, look, as the fathers are also tending for the livestock, tending fields, women can also be contributing something to the family.
Right.
So through the gender mainstreaming efforts that we did in this project, we realized that even the issues of gender-based violence at household were going down, because people had more work to do. They also had more income streams. They also had different food items to eat. So those are the main issues that normally bring conflicts at household level. So if food is on the table, if income is coming, and if opportunities are created, you see that the issues of gender-based violence may relatively go down. So this is also one of the impact this project brought in the community, where men can now appreciate the role played by women to say they can also look after the family, they can also provide for the family, and let's work together as a family to support our children.
Right, Mackenzie, that has been our time. Thank you so much for being our time to speak to us. Finally, what advice would you give to younger generations in South Sudan to encourage them to pursue agriculture and also contribute to sustainable food production?
Yes, I see South Sudan has great potential for agriculture, and we have vast lands, fertile lands, and youth should tap into that opportunity. Yes, it's a very lucrative livelihood source where they can produce, and the market is already there. Yes, so what is needed is also to work on the production side, to increase the production, then we can take the produce to the market, which can also create a lot of employment for our youths in South Sudan.
Mackenzie Masocha, I hope I got that correct.
Very correct.
Thank you so much for making our time to speak to us.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure being with you today.
Pleasure having you.